Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So this guy in a Wawa parking lot exposed his woo-woo to some women. This 33-year-old Florida man is in trouble. He parked next to these women and had a little self-expose. Winter Haven police said that this guy, Trinell Webster, drove, it was like 7:30, 7:40 p.m., parked next to these female victims sitting in their cars and decided to try to give them a show. And they called police. This guy was arrested, although they had to go and find him because he tried to speed off. But they did find him, and he is now in jail. We're short on time, but that was a great interview with Tim Kennedy. And make sure to find it on social. Third hour on the way. VP News coming up.
And watch the, and listen to the rally, right? We couldn't see him, but we could hear him. So we walked up. In probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed the guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's a guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police are like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2-3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots ring out.
Wow. That is a BBC interview with one of the guys that was right outside of the security perimeter. And they saw, as you could hear with what he was saying, they saw this guy accessing the rooftop. They saw him. And it wasn't just him. I think it was reported, like 50-some-odd bystanders saw this guy. And they were for minutes trying to alert law enforcement about it. There's a great side-by-side. And first off, welcome back. We're at the bottom of this first hour. Dana Lash back from vacation with you. There was a great side-by-side video. It's a little long. I don't know if we want to play all of it. But it puts it in really sharp perspective, and it's matched up perfectly. It was an account on X that did this, and they matched up perfectly the video from the bystanders that they took, where they were like, from the moment they saw the guy, and you can see on one side, it's the bystanders video, and they're saying, this is the moment they saw the guy on the roof, and then they were like, wait, that's not right. We need to tell law enforcement. From Trump speaking on the other side. And it's, I want you, because this really puts it into realistic, sharp perspective, the amount of time that passed. I really want you to understand this. It's a little long. Please bear with me, though, because it will shock you. Watch this. The left is the bystanders video. The right is Trump.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there.
It's in sync with each other. Both
right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And so I'm here with you fighting like hell to get a Senate.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House, because if we do, we're going to make America better than ever before. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Because we have millions and millions of people in our country that should be
police. You see the guy's face, Dad.
Criminals. We have criminals.
He's on the roof. He's on the roof.
We have people that should not be here.
Right on the roof.
It's much tougher than it is.
I mean, they're surrounded by police.
Right on the roof, they got.
In recorded history, we're the best border. In fact, if they could ever put up a chart, I don't know if they can do it. You guys have access to that chart that I love so much. You don't mind if I go off teleprompter, do you?
Police.
Because these teleprompters are so damn boring, I try and explain that.
From the moment they first saw it, and they're telling while this clock is running, police, there's a guy on the roof. There's a guy on the roof.
My guys, take a look at that chart.
50 Cent, here's the side-by-side again. Here we go. 50 some odd bystanders. Right now, what they're doing is they're trying to tell police there's a guy on the roof with a gun. They could see the rifle. They're telling police. They're telling, trying to get Secret Service, there's a guy on the roof with a gun.
Take a look at that. So that arrow.
And it was 2 full minutes. We're letting this clock run because I want people to understand how long it was from the moment they spotted him until the first shots rang out. And they're trying desperately, trying to get police's attention the entire time. You can see people in the other video. They're running over. They know something's happening. And then there it is. At that point, you could hear in the other video, people were screaming, there's a guy on the roof, there's a guy on the roof. And all hell breaks out. Don't tell me that you can't armchair quarterback this. Do not tell me. First off, can I just tell you something about the area that he was speaking in Pennsylvania? These are people that know guns. These are people that hunt. A lot of these, I mean, this is veteran country where he was at. That's one of the reasons why, and I made this remark to a friend of mine, a combat veteran. I said, I don't know, I kind of have a feeling that one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of the people that heard the gunshots, they didn't react at first because they're used to hunting, they're used to being around. And my friend kind of laughed, was like, you know, that area, you're not wrong. I mean, he's in veteran country. He's, you know, this is not like, you know, Beverly Hills. And so, and, you know, people kind of kept their cool. They didn't rush out of that. They just were looking around, looking where the threat was. It is amazing to me that it took that long. So don't tell me you can't armchair quarterback it. So what the hell happened? The American people are owed answers. We are owed answers on this. Because we go through an election. We go through this cycle. And we have a very protected process in the United States. We are so unbelievably unique. The bloodless transfer of power. And I'm telling you, there are questions. The bystanders saw, maybe the bystanders should have called the ATF and said, oh, hey, there's a dog on the roof. Maybe they should have done that. If they wanted that threat neutralized, maybe that's what they should have done. And what gets me is when the FBI said, oh, we think he acted alone. Really? And you're telling me that everybody here, they couldn't see this dude? But they can hunt down every single person who skipped past the Capitol on January 6th, run them down, get all of them. Really? But they're going to shrug before much is known about the guy. Oh, we think he acted by himself. There was this story I told you about the local cop who confronted this guy. New York Post has the story moments before shots rang out, as all these bystanders spotted him on the roof of this, I mean, 130 yards from the stage. Police were notified. One officer, according to the New York Post, climbed the ladder to investigate. This is according to numerous law enforcement officials who told the Associated Press this on the condition of anonymity. So they're telling on their guy. The officer, whose department had been enlisted by the Secret Service to help with security, encountered the murderer who pointed his rifle at him. The officer then backed down the ladder. That's when Crooks immediately took aim and fired shots. I don't know why the officer wouldn't immediately point his gun and even at the very least, like duck under the roof line and then point your gun over the roof line. I don't know why I wouldn't do that. I mean, I got questions about that. So now the House has initiated an investigation into this. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer said that they're calling the Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. They're going to have a hearing on July 22nd. Is anything going to come of it? I don't know. But this is a catastrophic. There's a lot of genuine questions over the DEIification of the Secret Service. And don't get mad at the people bringing it up, because we didn't bring it up. The damn head of Secret Service brought it up. Kimberly Cheadle brought it up. This is what blows my mind. And no pun intended here. But when you have these department heads that get in and they're like, oh, we're going to increase women representation. We're going to do all of this. You know, we're going to increase the number of women. We're going to make that a big thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, why are you, I mean, what? Why is that a big promotion for you? Cheadle was filmed in an interview bragging about the diversity in Secret Service. And she was, you know, had been a real big promoter of that, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, are you capable? That's all I care about. So don't tell people that they can't talk about the DEIification of this or ask questions about this because the people didn't bring it up. Kim Cheadle brought this up. And now Kim Cheadle has an attempted assassination of a former president on her watch. Audio soundbite 24, flashback. She was talking about DEI compliancy with Secret Service. Listen.
To expand hiring, they're aiming to have 30% women recruits by 2030 and even allowed YouTube influencer Michelle Carey to train with agents.
But I'm very conscious as I sit in this chair now of making sure that we need to attract diverse candidates and ensure that we are developing and giving opportunities to everybody in our workforce, and particularly women.
That workforce will be pivotal for the 2024 campaign season, which for the first time includes a former president who already has lifetime protection. Agents were there when Donald Trump was arraigned in
New
York.
She's served in Secret Service for 28 years. She was involved in the evacuation of Cheney on September 11th. Etc. She was director of last year. Remember, the agency deleted a lot of its text messages from January 6th. They said recruitment and retention are challenges. The Secret Service's departure rate was 48% last year because it is a high demand job. I get that. That's not an excuse. Don't throw this out to me as excuses because we don't tickle the fancy of mediocrity here in this country, especially when it comes to protection of the highest office in the land. Here's the reason why I bring this up, because there are a lot of people, and I've seen some of it now on social media. There are a lot of people saying, oh, well, women shouldn't be in executive detail. I've had executive detail before. I've had to when after Parkland and when I was working with a gun rights organization. There were literally people who were trying to get in my house, like physically trying to get in my home. I would go to different events and there would be people who would try to rush wherever we were. So I had for a period of time, and Keynes met them. A detail. I've had men and women. A lot of times, if it's in a huge crowded area, obviously you have several tiers of it. I had a lot of women details because women having women agents, it's less obvious because you then don't know immediately who the security targets are because those people want, they're targets. If there's your security, they're targets. But also these women were more muscular than I was and a little taller than I was, and they could manhandle me if they needed to get me out of the way. I bring this up because I need people to stop making this about a gender or a sex thing. And it's about physicality and it's about statistics. When I've done so much training. Obviously, I'm not in armed forces and I'm not a special agent. I've done a lot of training, though. I've been to Oklahoma. I've been all over the country doing training in morning, noon and night, all types of weather, hours of training. And one of the interesting things that I learned, because I've done a number of different drills where you go through, like you're clearing houses or you're clearing what is like a makeshift school, and you go through and the instructors are screaming orders at you. And one of the things that I found out was I was outperforming the men in every single one of these drills. And it's not just me. I wasn't the exclusion. Every other lady did too. Now, why is that? The women, the instructors told us, usually always outperform the men in these drills, because the women take instruction better than men. But there's a flip side to this. In the real time, real space environment, when you're out there in reality and you're not in a makeshift training house and you're not with instructors that are walking on these beams and screaming orders at you, when you are in real space, it's flipped. Because there is a shift that takes place, these instructors have told me, where men zero in on the objective in this real-time environment, and women are always, it is our nature, we immediately want to make sure you okay, and we kind of look at the bigger picture, whereas men will zero in. It's just a man versus woman thing, and it's not a strength or a weakness of either side. It is a different objective and a different capability, and if people didn't have their heads so far up their backsides, they would see that these two things complement each other instead of using one as, as a way to denigrate the other. That being said, when it comes to Secret Service protection, I'm not in favor of women protecting men, like the President of the United States, unless it's a specific requirement. Now, there are exclusions. There are women who are absolute exclusions to that rule and perform just as good, sometimes better than the men. But that's an exception. That's why they are exceptional. The reason I say this is because I was watching on stage. I was watching when Trump was on stage and this woman was trying to, the first agent in the front. And she was, I thought she actually was performing very well. But he's like, have you ever met Trump? I have. I've known him for a decade. He's tall. He's a huge guy. He's over 6'3". and he's very broad. And if he doesn't want to move, he's not going to move. I don't know if you remember, and I'm going to talk about this later. I want to compare the Secret Service response from the attempted Reagan assassination to now, because they manhandled Reagan. They literally picked that man up and threw him in the back of a car. They were trying to move Trump, and he did not want to move. He wanted to get his shoes. And the woman in front, you could tell, was kind of struggling to cover all his vital organs in the front. That's one of the first things I noticed, because that training thing where they cocoon you is one of the things that they drilled us on, and we participated, and it was very interesting. And when you're not as big as your principal, which is what they call the person you're protecting, when you are not as big and you are not capable of overpowering them and getting them and they're not responding, that's a problem. That's a security problem. And one last quick thing. It reminds me of Zack Snyder's 300 when Leonidas was talking to the deformed guy from Sparta who wanted to join the 300. And he followed Leonidas and the Spartan army to face off against the king of Persia, against Xerxes. And Leonidas said, can you raise your shield? Can you show me what you can do? And the guy couldn't raise his shield. And Leonidas is being very kind. And he said, I'm not doing this, you know, maliciously, but I need everybody to be able to perform at top notch. Because if you can't, then you're making a target out of the guy behind you. And if he drops, he's making a target out of the guy behind him. And we have to have every link physically strong. He wasn't saying that to be mean. And I'm telling you what, it's either about the objective or it's about you. And if it's about you, then you are idolizing yourself higher than the objective and you are unsuitable for the job. If you can't focus on the objective over self, you're unsuitable for the job. It is about protecting. It is about making sure that there are no gaps in security. This is not social experimentation. Now, like I said, there are some exceptions to that rule, which is why they're exceptional. But I have serious questions about some of this stuff. I know that they're hemorrhaging staff, but we need to get to the bottom of this. It's a real problem. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, American-born, American-made company, George Kellgren immigrated to the United States and conceived this awesome company in Florida. And I love Kel-Tec. I love Kel-Tec because they're like-minded. I love it because they're a great American success story. And I also love it because they make really awesome firearms that are very, very innovative. And that's what Kel-Tec does. They have 300 American staff, a lot of them military veterans, and they dedicate themselves to making these very distinctive firearms. And they've been creating pistols and rifles and shotguns, accessories and gear for years now. And they continue this mission of game-changing innovation and performance. We've been talking about this for a good year now. The Sub 2K Gen 3, that's the one they came out with last year. It's light, foldable, effective. It's an awesome, awesome firearm. Gen 3, I have the Gen 2 version. The Gen 3, it's a carbine, folds in half. And you don't have to detach your optics to fold the Gen 3 in half. And it just quickly and as easily deploys as well. You have light and action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, and quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything Kel-Tec has to offer at KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Postage is going up again. When's the last time you bought stamps? I bought stamps for Christmas cards I didn't send out because I'm epic at doing that. I will literally get some and then I'll send out like two to our parents. And then my mind reads that as she sent those out.
I still have forever stamps. Don't you? Like, remember the stamps you buy that were like, I don't know, 29 cents or 42 cents?
When
or whatever,
was that?
Like not too long ago. And yeah. I bought a whole book of these forever stamps. So can I use forever stamps?
I don't know. I'm not the postal people.
Oh man.
I don't, but they said that the cost of a stamp is going up for the second time this year, 5 cents, first class postage to 73 cents. Then the news report goes, you probably didn't notice because nobody sends mail. Unless just like packages, you know, like magazines and packages. That's like pretty much it. Like, do people send letters? And you know, because they email, they have like direct communication. I don't know. But I think like prescription drugs and purchases, online purchases, you know, that's going to, but stamps, or they just like run it through the, you know, I don't know. So it's going up to 73 cents. For that, I know, right? We should get into the stamp business away from the government. An axe-wielding woman torches cars in a violent Hollywood Hills rampage. Goodness. It happened around 10:30 a.m. She set, apparently, a Toyota Prius was being set on fire, and then it blew up, and then the fire went to a Jeep Cherokee, And then this female suspect ran into an apartment complex where she attacked another woman with an axe. And then she threatened to chop up other people with said axe. LAPD responded, and I think the firefighters responded. They extinguished the flames. And they did not release the identity of the crazy lady who was running around with an axe, but sounds like a horror film. You still have about 300,000 people without power a week after a Hurricane Beryl ripped through Texas. And Governor Abbott has demanded that Houston's main electricity supplier explain how it's going to improve its hurricane preparation plans. Yeah, you think? So they said it's like 288,000 energy customers still in the dark. As of Monday morning, according to poweroutage.us, many don't even have air conditioning. Houston is super humid and it's super hot. It's like 93 degrees. I don't even know what the humidity is there. 111,000, something like that. Yeah. CenterPoint Energy, the main supplier, says it's reconnected almost 2 million, about 90%. But you still have 280,000 that don't have it. And that's AC. That's insane. So now they're being looked at, and the executive office, governor's office in Texas is saying they need to pony up some answers here. Going back to this, because there's some others that we didn't get. Apparently, an Oxford brewery. This is in Britain. It's the Guardian. They are helping reduce recidivism by training people who are leaving jail to brew beer. It is a huge social movement that is apparently helping to solve their recidivism crisis because ex-cons are learning new skills and they're readjusting and they're actually doing something that they're interested in. And they said that they're actually really successful at it. And some of the people who have left, who like married, started families, all this stuff, they're helping other people who are leaving, and it gives them a structure that they can ease into when they're trying to reintegrate with society. It's a huge piece over at The Guardian, and they discuss how they've said that since they've been doing this, of the people who have participated in this program, less than 6% have reoffended. And the equivalent national average for reoffenses is like 50%. So there's something to it. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
You also received a letter from the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee that suggests your department may have, quote, rebuffed multiple requests from President Trump's security detail to increase protective resources. How do you respond to that?
That is an unequivocally false assertion. Very close watch on a very dynamic threat environment. The president, the former president, are consistently under threat. We take every single threat seriously.
I don't believe you. That's Alejandro Mayorkas. I don't believe him. He's DHS. I don't believe him at all. And there are a number of lawmakers that have come out repudiating that statement and refuting it, saying, and Mike Waltz is one of them. There are a number of them. They've said absolutely, we can unequivocally confirm that yes, requests have been made. But apparently the director of United States Secret Service was denying a larger Secret Service footprint. And I mean, regardless of what you think about RFK Jr., I mean, I think it's really weird that he doesn't have protection either. That strikes me as being very weird because he's a very credible third party candidate. And, you know, by all measures, he's met that. I mean, he's passed that litmus test. So there are a lot of questions about this. And this is why House Oversight has initiated an investigation into this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The first thing that I thought of when I was watching all of the video of the fairground of the area where Trump was speaking, for the lack of a better way to put it, was it was 130 yards out the rooftop that apparently had, I guess, no one cleared. I don't know how you cannot see a guy shimmying up the side of a building, and then he's in darker clothing on a white rooftop that isn't really that pitched, and he's bear crawling across. You had over 50 bystanders that could see it. Why could nobody else who was involved in security? And I want to be clear that until all the answers are in, I'm not, you know, armchair quarterbacking. I want to know what happened. And I want to go to the people that have the expertise in this so that they can give us some insight. And one of the first people that I thought of was our really good friend, Tim Kennedy. You know him as a UFC champ. He's a Ranger sniper, special forces operator, unapologetically American. He's been tweeting about this, and he was asking a lot of the same questions that we were asking. So he tweeted on the 13th. He was glad the former president is okay, but he asked, you know, the fact that this guy was able to get up there within 200 meters with a rifle and in an elevated position, he says, quote, is beyond negligent, if not intentional. And Tim joins us via Skype right now with an epic background. Tim, so good to see you, my friend. I wish it was on a better subject, but I'm so glad that you're sharing your expertise with us. And that's the question that I have. I've trained and I've had executive protection. Obviously, I'm not a Secret Service agent and I'm not in the military. But the fact that you had over 50 bystanders that were able to see this guy on the rooftop, and that 2 minutes went by that they were trying to get security's attention and nothing was done. How does that happen?
Yeah. On the responding to, communication is really, really difficult when you're working in a multi-agency, multi-district. You know, you have state people there, you have county people there, you have city people there. And according to Secret Service, it sounds like they're leaning very heavily on local law enforcement to fill the gap. They were understaffed, undermanpowered. Obviously, they're inadequate, inept, and not capable to do the job. Mayorga needs to step down, as does the Secret Service director. Both those appointees need to be fired immediately. In addition to that, There has to be an immediate look at the competence and capability within the Secret Service. When I said that, those questions I was asking, those were rhetorical questions. It's egregious. It's impossible, Dana. I cannot tell you. There is not a detail on the planet that would look at that building and be like, yeah, it doesn't need to be secured. You know, there's not. My 9-year-old would do a better job. And first of all, my 9-year-old will absolutely make 150-yard shots off of a negative pitch slope roof, even if you're shooting open sights with that rifle. Like, every single kid in Texas can do this, as you know. So like, if a 9-year-old can do it, but a 20-year-old is able to clamber up onto a roof with a ladder that is in line of sight to the president, everybody's fired. Absolutely everybody, from the principal team to the site survey team to the red cell team to all the way up the chain of command, they're all fired. It's clear, it's evident, and no matter what anybody says from the organization, because they're just trying to protect their jobs now, they all got to go. They're on the scale of negligent, inept, stupid, incompetent to complicit. Man, I'm not sure where they fall. You know, like, they might be so dumb and so, and I'm not attacking the people on the ground, because I do believe that they have the heart of patriots. You know, like, you look at the women that were around the president, they wanted to do the right thing. They just didn't know what that was. When they're asking questions, what are we going to do? How do we get off the X? You see one of them cowering behind the president. Her job is to throw her freaking body on top of the man that she's sworn to protect. There's another one that's cowering behind the stage. You see two men looking out into the crowd, weapons at the high ready, doing the thing that they're supposed to do that they swore that they would do. And then you see another one, a Secret Service agent, that's cowering by the stage. She's fired. The other one hiding behind the president, former president, she's fired. It's that they don't know what to do, Dana.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do.
You hit the nail on the head. Our friend Tim Kennedy is talking to us via Skype, because when I heard that on video, I've never seen, and I've been around a number of politicians, I've been around presidents before, and their team knows a million steps ahead of time what they're doing. If they're not going to get out one way, they got 6,000 other ways to get out. I mean, they've rehearsed it. It didn't seem cohesive. And they, it, and also, correct me if I'm wrong on this. If the, I mean, it's like if the president needs to move because there's a security threat, you're going to move him regardless of what he wants to do. I just, you know, I look back at what happened with Reagan and John Hinckley, and oh my gosh, you had Shattuck and Parr that were like literally picking Reagan up and shoving him, like, you know, they were trying to stuff some a sausage back in the casing, shoving him into a car and heading off towards the hospital. I mean, they moved him if he couldn't or didn't want to move. I mean, that to me, this fell apart at so many levels. Starting from that rooftop right there, watching the women, and we're talking to our friend Tim Kennedy. Talk to me about this a little bit, because it seemed chaotic, them trying to move him. A lot of people are blaming women serving. I think that's a weird thing to focus on, but it seemed like it was a skill set. They weren't trained.
Yeah. There are two parts to that. So one, you're like a fart could almost blow you over, Dana.
My mind, I'm like 250. Okay,
I know
I'm like 250, 6'9". You know, come on.
You're a beautiful, small, petite woman, right? That's what you are. The president that we're talking about is almost 300 pounds.
Yeah,
you know, he's 6.5 feet tall. He's a giant man. If you cannot throw your body in front of him to take a bullet, you're on the wrong man.
Yeah.
So there is a size capability portion that has to be remembered, but I do 100% agree with you that this is not, you know, this chauvinistic machismo, a sexist issue of like the women are incapable of doing it. It is a training and competence issue. They were undertrained. They are not physically fit. When you see a woman that can't get her weapon in her holster around her love handle as she's wearing,
it's like Paula Blart, Mall Cop. Yeah. I'm stealing that from Kane.
She's wearing suspenders. Just keep her pants up. You know, like,
and that's not being mean. That's like, that's a requirement for the job. It is a requirement. I've had female details before. These women could bench you. I think even they are hardcore chicks. They're like built out like, you know, Rocky Balboa, that they're, and there's always exceptions to the rule, I've said, but that's why they're exceptional. But I'm also a little old school. I don't think a chick should be taking a bullet for a dude.
I mean, if they raise their hands, I have worked with women that are they are far more competent and capable in so many ways than me. I've been with them in Afghanistan. I've been with them in Iraq. I've been with them in Africa. I've been with them in Eastern Europe. And I have been flabbergasted. It's not even close. I've just been beyond blown away by their capability, their competence. I'm thinking of one of them right now. Like, this young woman runs circles around me in the technology and weaponization of technology, you know, drone warfare, cybersecurity.
Yeah, they all have their talents. Everybody's got a talent. But you made a good point. I mean, he's 6'3". I mean, when he shakes your hand, well, maybe not yours, but my hand disappears in it. It's like a catcher's mitt. I'm like, there's no way I couldn't do it. And I appreciate those who want to do the job, but you got to be able to do the job. It reminds me of like Leonidas. We were talking about this and the Spartan 300. You know, every guy's got to meet the same bar, and it's not out of maliciousness. It's to serve that objective, which is greater than self.
Yeah, I mean, when you see posts from the director of the Secret Service saying, "Hey, we're going to focus on DEI," and she brought it up, not us. Yeah, that's awesome. There's lots of roles and there's lots of jobs where I you know, from equity to inclusion to like, send it.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
If you're flying a plane, if you're running into a burning building, if you're trying to protect a former president that is the Republican nominee for president, like, it doesn't matter. You can either do the job or you can't. You know, in the military, we have these standards from Ranger school to sniper school to special forces selection. Man, if you can pull the weight, awesome. Like, if your bones are dense enough to do it, if you are strong enough, if you are fast enough, you are lethal enough, that's fine. Because the only thing that matters is your lethality. That's it.
I want to play this. We're talking with our friend Tim Kennedy. This is audio soundbite 3. I wanted, because I got two other things I want to ask you. One is about the private security for Trump. But the first thing, though, is, and again, I do not want to armchair quarterback these guys, because it's not hard to acquire, or it is very hard actually to acquire a target. You know, I know that much. I've done, you know, I've done long range, and it's not easy to be like quick on the scope like that. I think that's only if you're in COD. But this guy, I mean, this video, and I think this is the one that we slowed down. when they were, when the guy was on the glass and he was, and clearly, you know, he's, you know, checking for threats. And then it's almost like they saw the guy, they saw or heard something. And then they looked like the guy looked genuinely shocked. When you saw that video, what came to your mind? I mean, you know, you know a lot more about this than the average bear. What came to your mind when you were seeing this?
Yeah, I was on a call last night with a bunch of very, very talented, far more talented snipers than me. I've been a sniper for 16 years, went to Special Operations Target Addiction School, which is the level one sniper course, Special Forces Sniper School. And, one of the guys that I was on the call with last night holds the current record for the furthest combat kill in current history. And not like some made up Ukrainian stuff at like 7 miles. I'm talking like a couple of dudes on glass,
right?
And they splashed a Taliban terrorist in Afghanistan.
Wow.
This Canadian Special Operations sniper. And as we're breaking down that specific portion, we all could not understand. This is not what you're doing. So you do this range card from the position that you're at. You know where your principal is. You know the guy that you're supposed to protect. And then you have this range sector. Right, you have this left and right limit, and this is my responsibility to observe and know what's in this area. And on my range card, they've done the site survey. So they take a guy and they send him out into within probably 2,000 meters around everywhere where the person that you're trying to protect is going to be. And you identify every single line of sight. You identify every single rooftop. You identify every single window. And those are all represented. And then in some instances, you'll even categorize them. If they're such a high threat, you're going to put a physical body on top of that rooftop. That spot specifically, there is no possible, listen to me, there is no way, I'm saying this with absolute 100% certainty, that they knew that that specific spot was one of the most dangerous and deadly spots in the entire campus that they're trying to protect. They knew that without a doubt, and they knew it before the president got there. So that sniper has this X on his map that says 151 meters from where he was, or 154 from where he is, 151, the shooter was to the president was. And he was absolutely looking at exactly where that guy was going to come up. And when he came off the rifle, it was because he was scared. He was not trained. And I think this is a byproduct of what has been happening with law enforcement for the past 10 years. They're going to jail. They're being indicted. They don't have the confidence to do their job because they think they're going to get fired, right? So then you see this guy pop up. It's on a negative slope roof. If somebody's low crawling up there, the fact that he could get there is a different story entirely. But then he pops his head up and you see him look. He comes off his optic. He comes back down. And then the fire, and he gets off completely off his gun. And then somebody's able to splash him. That is an untrained, ill-equipped, incompetent person that is not – maybe he's an amazing sniper, but his ability to do his job has been undermined. He can't do the thing that he's supposed to do, which is to kill somebody else that's trying to kill the person he's there to protect.
Last fast question for you. You said that it's time for Trump to have privatized security solutions,
yes, ma'am,
a non-government security option because of this. And because you think, I think it's a fair question, whether it's accidental or malicious.
It can be if let's say you were in the seat as the director and you were looking around the person that you're supposed to be protecting, and you see the capability and or the lack of capability and the incompetence and the negligence and the ineptitude, and you're like, you're smart enough, Dana, to recognize that that is dangerous. So then as you start sliding down the scale into complicit, where you are aware that it is so dangerous, but you're still allowing it to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, you're almost, you know, in some way involved.
Right.
You're in cahoots with the guy that's about to pull the trigger because you've allowed it to happen because of the inability of the people around him. He has to get trusted non-government people. It has to be augmented. Secret Service is not going to like it. But those resources should to a ground force commander that can use the dogs, the physical security, that can use the metal detectors, that's using the American budget.
make it work together. We're short on time now, but Tim Kennedy, God bless you. I appreciate your service. I appreciate your perspective on this as well, because, you know, that experienced, you know, analysis. I think that's, you know, a lot of people were looking for that, a lot of those answers on this. Thank you so much, my friend. And I appreciate you doing it on such short notice too. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.